This podcast episode, while not explicit, contains some gruesome details about violence that may be troubling for some listeners to hear. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Creepy Life Podcast, a podcast with a wide variety of topics for all your true crime, paranormal, and otherwise spooky needs. I'm Thomas.
I'm Sparky.
Are you, though?
Maybe. Are you ready to jump right in?
Sure.
So, this week, we're going to be covering urban legends from the River Legacy Park in Arlington, Texas, which... It seems very specific,
but yeah.
The reason that I picked this was because I had one of the urban legends written down on my list, and then when I started researching it, I realized...
It was part of something bigger.
Well, there's two of the same thing that have the same name, but they're completely different. And then there was other things that I found in the park... that were also urban legends. So I was like, okay, I'll just do a lesson on all of it.
Kind of reminds me of when I started looking at the Pukwudgie and then discovering the, keep wanting to say Blackwater Triangle, but it's the Bridgewater Triangle in Massachusetts, which is a lot.
But yeah, really quick, I'm going to give my sources. So I went on Reddit, three different YouTube links. Two of them from the user Morty Mouse. Theboneyard.org, very useful. Thenumbers.com, onlyinyourstate.com, which was interesting because they had a correct story, but for the wrong part. And hauntedrooms.com. So, Arlington, Texas.
Fun fact, my first job interview in Idaho, They asked if I was from Texas.
You don't have that much of an accent. Even when
is exactly why I started hiding my accent, because I'm not from Texas. I'm not technically really from any part of the deep south.
You're like the northern south.
What's really, really funny, though, is a lot of the farmers in southern Nebraska have a southern accent.
Yeah, a lot of people in Idaho have southern accents. Yeah, I can't figure
that one out.
I don't know. Anyway, so Arlington, Texas, I kept thinking that it was like a small town because there's an Arlington in Minnesota. That's a very small town, and one of my best friends worked there.
Worked there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
As a teacher.
Ah.
And quick Google search shows it's got a population of about 400,000, so it's pretty big.
Cool.
Also, apparently the city as a whole kind of has a reputation for being haunted. There's a lot of other things there. Like I said, it's going to be in the park, and I was really confused at first because people would mention what is called the Screaming Bridge, and they would talk about two completely different stories. And what I realized is there's actually two bridges, and we're going to get into how they're different. And I'm also going to cover, like I said, a couple ghost stories and something called Hell's Gate. Okay?
Okay.
Also, when I researched this, I was really only expecting a ghost story, but instead I found a story with, like, really nice racist overtones, and by nice I mean horrible, that made me really angry.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, we're gonna start with the kind of miscellaneous stories first. I read in one spot, literally just one, or I heard in one spot, that there's an Indian burial ground, because let's always blame everything bad on an Indian burial ground.
You know, you wouldn't have to blame everything on an Indian burial ground if you would stay out of sacred land.
Fair point. So, there is a famous ghost referred to as the hobo. It's sad, but it's heartwarming. So, there's a railroad that goes through the park, and because it would slow down to go through the park, it was a common, like, jump-off point for a lot of people who would ride the trains. Like, people traveling, and they wanted a free ride. But yeah, so it would slow down, so a lot of people would jump off there. One night, a man jumped off the train in the park, and he could hear a woman screaming. And he followed the screams to a car parked in the park. And inside the car was a woman who was being beaten by a man. And the quote-unquote hobo, I wish they had a name for this guy, tried to save the woman and kind of get in between the man and the woman. But when he intervened, the man beat him to death or shot him. I've heard two different versions. So the hobo has been spotted wandering through the park. It's also been reported that he will knock on car windows. And when he does that, he'll knock to see if the woman is okay.
That is kind of sweet.
It is sweet.
But it'd be really awkward if you're, like, parked and all of a sudden you hear a knock on the window. First reaction, oh god, it's the fuzz. Dude, it's just like a translucent vagabond. You'd be like, yo, she okay, man?
It's the dude.
Hey, you okay, man? You got a nickel for a can of beans?
Oh my god.
What?
Anyway.
Come on, we've all seen the cartoon of the hobo eating a can of beans.
Yes.
Maybe I just watched too much of The Simpsons.
The next one I'm going to talk about is apparently, according to locals, the most famous of all of the ghost stories. But it wasn't the one I originally set out to find, so I'm not going to put it at the end. But they have a location in the woods that is called Hell's Gate. And it's really difficult to find. I read one post where it was like a ghost investigation type, you know, thing. And they went into the forest and couldn't find it.
We went into the forest, but could not find the gate.
If you're trying to look for Hell's Gate, what you're looking for is two posts. And they literally just look like any old farm gate post. Circular pieces of wood sticking up out of the ground. But yeah, the gate itself is very unimpressive. There's no, like, fence around it. There's no door. Just the two posts.
Is it kind of like the cross down in Utah?
I don't know.
Apparently there's this sacred stone cross or something that, at one time, I think it was something, but it's been defaced so much. But it's, like, in the middle of the woods.
That's weird. So we paused so Thomas could look up the stone cross in Utah, and it's called Kay's Cross.
And it's not Kay's Crossing in Layton, Utah, which I accidentally searched.
And we found the man we were just making fun of, a picture of him next to it.
Well, it was a big stone cross at one time, and now it's just a pile of rock.
Vaguely cross-shaped.
And that's just like a piece of metal that's laying across it.
Anyway, so this gate apparently was a gate that many Union soldiers who were spies walked through to be executed. Like, during Civil War, there was like a big execution area? I don't know. And really, like I said, YouTuber Morty Mouse went into the woods, he was looking for it, and it's like, it's not in the middle of a clearing or anything. It's just off the path, and there's no, like, path to it. You have to really be, like, looking for these two unremarkable posts off the side of the path or you're gonna miss it.
And then, once you find this gate, it's very simple what you do next.
What?
I know you are here. Why don't you punch me in the face as hard as you can?
You're a turd.
I am not.
Alright, many people near here have reported cold spots or hearing voices, like when the wind blows, they can hear you talking. Normal haunting stuff. Some of the voices heard are praying or sobbing. And there's also been reports, this is the worst part, of an apparition of a Confederate soldier with red hair and a satisfied smile, who they believe to have been somebody who was supervising the executions. No name or anything, so I don't know how reputable that is, but that has been the report. And like I said, the YouTuber that went through there, he said he felt like he was being watched the entire time, and it was kind of creepy. He kept turning around. He had a camera, I guess, on a selfie stick or something in front of him, and he kept turning around like somebody was watching him or following him.
Are we sure it wasn't his camera crew?
He was a solo guy.
Yeah, it was probably the camera crew, and then all of a sudden we would hear, uh-oh, the camera crew got in the way of the shot.
If you want to watch that video, it is in the sources. I put the words Hell's Gate after it, so you would know which YouTube source it was.
And if you want to know who we keep making fun of, simply type Ghost Adventures on YouTube. And that's about all you can take.
Alright, now we're going to get into the Screaming Bridge, which is what I originally had been planning on doing.
Does this bridge have a goat man?
No.
Most haunted bridges have a goat man.
No goat man. There's two bridges, and the first one I'm going to talk about is not the original Screaming Bridge. I want to save that one for last because it's the worst. So, this bridge is on Trammell Davis Road, and because it still exists, many people think it is the original bridge, but it's not.
And already, then.
We'll talk more about the other bridge in just a second. But it does have its own dark history. It is over the Trinity River, and again, I'm not going to continue talking about him, but I did want to say that he was the only one that mentioned it. Morty Mouse said that this is a notorious place for body dumping. I'm not sure how...
Unless they find a bunch of bodies washed up periodically.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. He, I believe, is from that area, so he grew up, you know, hearing all this stuff. So, I've never been to Texas, so I can't say from experience.
I had a layover there once.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Here's a cigar.
Yeah, I flew off from the Dallas-Fort Worth airport back to Kansas City, and that flight is the reason I don't fly anymore.
Great.
Yeah.
So, the story of this bridge, it's very narrow, and this is, if you want to look at my sources, it's the one labeled New Screaming Bridge, if you want to watch the video about that one. When it was operational, only one car could go through at a time. It's not very wide. And you can probably predict what's going to happen here. A couple sources said that it was a car of teenagers, but I didn't see anywhere that gave names or gave a specific number of how many people were involved. There was two vehicles, though.
Was rock and roll and dance involved?
No, one source said that it was after a football game where the home team had kicked their opponent's butts, and so they were, like, joyriding.
In reality, they were going and they were partying. Everyone was killed in this car accident, and then the entire town started hating dance and rock music. Until one guy with a funny nose named Ren McCormick showed them how to dance.
Okay.
You've never seen Footloose, have you?
Once.
Wow.
It's been a long time. But, again, that was only one source that I saw that, so I'm not sure if that's true. But anyway, so these, I imagine, teenagers probably didn't see a car coming from the other direction, and it was either because they weren't paying attention. Some sources said that the oncoming car had its lights off, but I'm not sure how they would know that, because there were no survivors. The cars hit head-on the bridge, and some of the people died instantly. Then the cars rolled off into the water, and the rest of the people died there. So, yeah, it wasn't a great time.
Cool.
And apparently, on the anniversary of the car crash, you know how these ghost stories go, if you stand in the middle of the bridge, you can see two sets of headlights driving towards each other. So also there, there's two sets of headlights. One of them didn't have their headlights off. Just saying.
Yeah, there was a story like that where I grew up. There was this old bridge, but it was like over a creek.
Mm.
And it was out, I think it was out by the airport. And there was a story, I don't know if it was true, I never bothered looking into it, but the story says that some kids back in like the 50s or 60s were out there drag racing,
mm-hmm.
One ran off the road and got killed, and on the anniversary, you can hear the crash.
Yeah. And this happened in like the 70s, but again, no specific date. And so nowadays, the bridge is fenced off on one side, and I watched two YouTube videos. I only used one as a source because the other one, they were just like, whoa, look at this. Oh, it's so cool. But it was fenced off. Like, there's a big thing around it, so you shouldn't have been able to get in. But somebody cut a hole in the chain link, so you can pretty much just kind of, like, duck and walk in.
Black Ops.
There's a lot of graffiti on it now. It's also really dangerous to even walk on because in the YouTube video I watched, there's holes in it that are probably about the size, maybe twice the size of, like, a standard drinking cup that just goes straight through.
Cool.
And they're, like, intentionally there. I'm not sure what their purpose is.
Drainage.
Yeah, probably. But imagine if you get your foot caught in that. It wouldn't go very well. So one side's fenced off. The other side, there's just, like, a gap. Which seems really safe. Because they're just the bridge just stops. And there's no fence or anything.
Wow.
That could go really well. But this is a very not easy to find place. And I don't think cars are allowed there anymore. So, growing but you'd think that there would still be like a sign or something.
Well, growing up in rural communities, you know, back roads, every once in a while you'd find an old decrepit bridge that had fallen apart. Mm-hmm. And some of them were fenced off. Some of them, you just had common sense not to try and drive over them.
Yeah, but if you're not from the area and you're exploring or something, you know, and it's maybe getting a little dark out or you look at something else for a second.
But if the bridge is completely rusted and part of it is in the creek with an old car on it.
Well, yeah.
You kind of know not to try.
Yeah. So, finally, the original Screaming Bridge. This originally was also called Death Crossing, which is nice and ominous. It was a little wooden bridge that went over a drainage ditch, and it also right across, or if you're like driving one way on the road, you go over the drainage ditch and the bridge, and then you cross the railroad tracks almost immediately after. So, previous to the incident I'm going to talk about, there were multiple crashes and deaths because of the location of the bridge and railroad. I'm not sure if people just weren't paying attention or what the deal was, but it already had a bad reputation before
this. Hence the name.
Yeah. And this is definitely the worst of the three stories. A little bit of backstory on it first. In January 27th of 1961, there were four teenage boys, but they were angry because of black people. Apparently, there's two different versions of the story. One is just that they were mad that some black students were going to be attending their high school. Another story said that they were just trying to stop black people from commuting into Arlington because that was a common route they would take. But regardless, they decided they should burn down the bridge. So they found a bunch of straw, stuffed it in, and lit it on fire. Which is very kind of them.
Oh, absolutely.
No. Once that was discovered, they put flares, like, what they call them, smudge pots? Which I'd never heard of, but, like, they kept being extinguished, or people would steal them. So then instead they put up barricades, which I believe were made of wood. And I don't know if there were plans to fix this bridge or not. Anyway, about a week later, Saturday, February 4th, same year, obviously because it's a week later, there was a vehicle with six high school girls inside, and they were driving along the road, which was the Arlington-Bedford Road that this bridge was a part of, and they had just seen a movie. Sidebar. I googled what movies were playing in 1961, and I don't know how many, because I don't know the movie theaters in the area, I don't know how many would have been playing at the time. These are the choices that they probably saw. The Misfits, Viva la Italia, La Notte, or 101 Dalmatians. I'm going to say it was that one just because I love that one.
Could have also been an older movie.
Could have been. So they were out joyriding, having fun. One of the girls said she had never been on that road, and it was really, like, curvy, wavy, it would go back and forth really fast. Yeah, and yeah. So they decided, oh, let's take her on this road and go at it at speed. So somehow, the barricade had disappeared.
Lovely.
And to this day, they don't know who did that or why. I have a theory.
I have a theory.
So the girls, maybe, I don't know if this was even news at the time, but they didn't know or they didn't see that the bridge was out. And they drove off the road full speed. And the car hit the other side of the ravine and, like, landed on its top. So, two girls died at the scene. They were Mary Lou Goldner, she was the one that was driving, and Claudie Jean Reeves. So another of them, Kathy Fleming, died hours later. But I'm wondering if those three were the ones in the front seat who probably got the brunt of the damage to the car. And so they had been, like, because Mary Lou was the driver. So I'm thinking that the three that died were probably in the front seat and would have gotten a harder collision with the side of the ravine.
And the dashboard and all that other stuff.
And the windshield. So the other three suffered pretty bad injuries. And I'm just going to read. This is from boneyard.org, which about this case was very informative. Injured were Donna Post, Dorothy Ibsen, and Joanne Anderson with multiple fractures, parentheses, arms, jaws, and concussions. Joanne...
parentheses, skull.
Joanne Anderson remained in critical condition after undergoing emergency brain surgery that Sunday morning. So she was really hurt by that, but the two of them survived. Well, three of them survived, one with more serious injuries.
I would like to just put in that I do know that a concussion doesn't really affect the skull, that it's actually a bruise on the brain.
It can, but it doesn't have to.
I know, I was just being kind of dumb.
I know, it was funny. One of the awful things, none of the girls had any ID on them. So only when Dorothy regained consciousness did they get any kind of identification for any of them, and they couldn't start contacting parents until then.
I just gotta know.
Okay.
Did they not have APHIS? Did they not have some tech they could just, like, punch in a computer and find everything?
No. And I imagine, especially if they're underage, they can't put... Well, I mean, you wouldn't put a picture of a crash victim on TV or anything anyway.
No.
And that wasn't really so much a thing probably until the 70s or 80s, was it?
Not really. I mean, 61. I don't think it was still... Everyone had a TV at that point. I know my dad graduated in like 56 or 57, and they didn't have a TV. His grandparents did, but they didn't. And from my understanding, they also didn't have indoor heat and would wake up in the wintertime with frost on their blankets.
Great. So one of the newspaper articles that was released at the time said that there was another car that was there right before them that almost drove off the bridge as well. His name was Bill Young. He had stopped for a train. My guess is he was probably pretty familiar with this area. Stopped for the train. As he was waiting for the train to be done, he realized there's no bridge here. And he was about only 3 feet behind where the bridge would have started. So he started backing up to, like, turn around and go around. And as he was, like, getting ready to turn around again, he honked at this other car that was coming. It's thought that the girls panicked because of this, thinking it was some kind of a creep or something, and sped up to pass him.
Or do you think it's possible that they could have just taken the other car coming out of that as a, oh, the bridge is fine, someone just came through?
Well, the way I was imagining it, for some reason, was, like, he had pulled off kind of to the side and was, like, not on the road. I don't know, but I'm totally just making that up. I don't know if that's, like, what actually happened or anything.
Because, I mean, we are talking about a time when hitchhiking was common and you didn't really have to worry. The whole stranger danger movement hadn't really been an issue. So I don't see where someone just honking. I mean, there's no way that the guy could have... Hey, there's six teenage girls in this car.
Yeah.
He could have been having car trouble, for all they know, and was trying to flag someone for help.
Yeah, I did kind of think about that, too, but that was one of the theories. But yeah, his intent was to warn them, and he might have just imagined that they sped up, but they just kept driving, regardless. So even though this guy, Bill Young, may or may not have made the accident worse, he was the one to report the accident to the police, and I'm kind of curious how that happened, or like how quickly it took. Because there's no cell phones, and from my understanding, this is kind of like in the middle of nowhere. Really, now there's nothing, from what I could tell on Google Maps, there's nothing nearby.
But this guy was probably like a military agent who just went up to a phone line and threw a cord over and had the phone. You know.
Yeah,
you know that's what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like those World War II phones.
And like you said, it would have taken him a while to get anywhere. But I do have to say, it's really good that he did that, because considering it's the middle of the night and this isn't like it's a pretty out of the way spot, it could have been hours or, you know, even the next day before somebody else found them, or more cars could have gone off the ledge in that time.
Three of them survived, right?
Yes.
It's possible if he hadn't been there that they all would have died.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah, and I'm wondering, like, and I don't blame anyone for this, but I'm wondering if it was today where this guy would have had a cell phone and he could have called and said, hey, this is happening, like, and got someone right away to come out there. Mm-hmm. I wonder if the one girl who died at the hospital later
could have survived.
Yeah.
Or could he have just been like, someone will come by, and kept going?
Yeah, and it would have been really easy for him to just walk away. Be like, oh, well, crap, that happened.
No, see, the true story is he was waving them down because he was like, wanna buy some death sticks?
He's a Ted Bundy, actually. So
not
the...
in 1961, come on.
So there was an investigation, and I'm guessing it was really hard for one of the officers involved, because one of the highway patrolmen was the father of Claudia Reeves.
Oh.
Who was one of the girls that died.
Yeah.
And I guess they paused the investigation so all of the highway patrolmen could attend the funeral. Which is really depressing. Now, afterwards, of course, there was, like I said, an investigation. And the boys who set the bridge on fire, they have all their names, and I'm not going to say them because I hate them all. So on February 17th of that year, which is less than 2 weeks later, which I thought was really interesting, they went to court for this. And again, this is from boneyard.org. I didn't really know a great way to reword this, so I'm just going to read this chunk verbatim. The lawyer said, "It was just a prank. I don't think there was any malice in their hearts. They are just young boys and didn't think." That's from one of their lawyers. And then the article goes on to say, after testimony from the boys, parents, and, quote, leading citizens of Arlington, unquote, defining them as good students and religious, the jury foreman declared their actions to be childish pranks and wished to give the boys, who had withdrawn from school before the hearing, a, quote, new chance in life, unquote.
Okay, one of their defenses is that they're religious?
Mm-hmm. Which is a terrible
excuse. Does none of them know the origins of Friday the 13th?
Mm-mm.
You don't even know that?
Mm-mm.
Basically, the church started believing the Templars were gaining too much power and ordered them executed.
Oh, great.
It was a massacre.
But, yeah, this just makes me so mad. They were, I believe, they were in high school, so they were somewhere between 14 and 18. Old enough to know better, you know? And the girls, well, depending, the girls may not have died if the barricades were still up, but it's still...
Well, yeah, because it is very possible that they would have wrecked if they had hit a barricade going too fast, but at the same time, their injuries probably would have been lesser if they had hit a barricade even at full speed than flying off a bridge into the side.
Yeah. And I also want to say, I bet if the boys were black...
Oh, absolutely.
They would have gone to jail immediately.
Oh, no. They would have been executed.
Because that's how flawed our justice system is.
I read a story, and I think it was a true story, but I'm pretty sure it took place in the 50s, about this kid who was like 13, 14 years old. He talked to a white woman in
Emmett
a store.
Till.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that was absolutely horrible.
Mm-hmm.
All he did was talk to a woman.
And they killed him.
And they beat him to death.
Mm-hmm. Our judicial system sucks.
It absolutely does.
But, so, like I said, they never really figured out the barricades, or if they did, they never revealed who did it. And this is just my opinion, not fact. And again, I didn't even say the name of the boys. It is in the Boneyard article if you want to look it up. But this is just my opinion. I think they were removing the barricades. Because if their intention...
I think they were removing the barricades because they wanted the black citizens of the area to die.
Yep.
He wanted them to do exactly what the girls did and not realize the bridge was out, not slow down, and wreck their cars.
Yeah, that is exactly what I thought. Because if they were angry enough about having people come to their school that probably wouldn't affect them in the slightest, enough to burn down a bridge, I think that they would probably have made a point to return every day and remove barricade. But yeah, that was really awful. It made me really mad while I was doing this. After that, the bridge was never replaced. The boys never got in any serious trouble for it. They did cover the area with, like, concrete and dirt, so the drainage ditch was still usable, and I believe it was just kind of like a dirt path there. That was until 1994, March 10th of that year.
I was almost a year old.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I knew it. Raylan Johnston and Tammy Lynn Dodson were driving on that same road where the Screaming Bridge is. But anyway, so these two women were driving in a truck. They were trying to cross the tracks before the train. As you can probably guess, because I'm telling the story, they did not survive.
Did the train?
I don't think the conductor was hurt or anything. Which, it's not the conductor's fault. And trains, you know, they have, like, what is it, like a quarter mile, half mile before they can stop. Even longer, and this was in 94, so probably even longer then. The train hit the passenger side of the car. Both women died at the scene. One of them was trapped inside the burning truck, and I believe burned to death. The other one flew out and landed on the tracks and probably died from a head injury.
Ow.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Well, don't ever try to beat the train.
And I have to say it. I have to say it. It's just like the scene at the beginning of GTA 5.
Where you're trying to beat the train and it hits the back of the car.
Yeah. Very important. You know, I had to reference GTA at some point. I haven't for the last, like, two, so I had to bring it up again.
What's GTA?
But anyway, so after that, the road was built up, and it's like a giant speed bump now. It's steep enough that I don't think you would be able to drive a car over it. And there's, like, a cement barricade in front of it. So you're not going to be able to cross that bridge again. I'm wondering if they didn't have the, like, train arm things, you know?
If it's in the middle of nowhere, there's a good chance they don't.
Even around here, they have them, though. And this is what I would call the middle of nowhere.
Back home, the closer to town you were, the more you would have them. But if you were, like, a railroad crossing in the middle of nowhere, you'd have lights. That was it. Just flashing lights saying a train was coming.
Huh. Anyway, so around this place and the new Screaming Bridge, people say that you can see wooden posts from the original wooden bridges. But again, I'm not sure if the new one would have had wooden. I don't know if it was ever wooden. But people said that about both of them. And supposedly at both places, you can look in the water and see glowing tombstones for all of the people that died at that specific bridge, which is very strange. And you can also hear...
screaming.
Screaming.
No way!
Supposedly from the girls dying, which is where the name came from, and then it got transferred to the other bridge. But I was thinking about this. Judging from what I've seen, this was not a long bridge. Like, a drainage ditch isn't
no, wide, it's not very big. You know?
So, I'm wondering, like, it would have only been a couple seconds. Especially if they're going, like, 50 miles an hour from driving off the road until they hit the side. And if two of them...
Oh, they may not even have realized that they were off pavement by the time they hit it.
No. So, that's kind of weird to me. Like, I don't know how much time they would have had to scream. And yes, this is called anxiety and overthinking everything.
Unless the screaming was after that.
Or assuming three of them were not knocked unconscious immediately. Maybe they were screaming after they hit it. But they were all unconscious when the six ambulances came to get them. So, I don't know. Very interesting.
Or maybe it's just the stereotype of girls screaming.
Mm-hmm. That could be too. But yeah, so that is the story.
Especially B movies.
That is the story of River Legacy Park in Arlington, Texas.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was a really... I'm kind of glad I found the other things because it would have been a really short episode if I just had the last one, but...
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, I said this one was going to be short and it still took almost an hour to record. I don't know how long it's going to be by the time I edit it, probably. My guess for this one's 40.
I want to say 30.
Okay. I cut. almost 40 minutes out of the last one.
Oh, I know.
And apparently, I made some interesting editing errors, like leaving your cousin said, what did he say?
We were talking about the water tank.
Uh-huh.
And I said, did they patch the hole? And then you just keep going. But I remember when we recorded, you actually explained. And the reason that I asked that is that video you showed me.
Well, I don't see. I think we had a discussion about it, but I don't know if they patched the hole. I assume they did.
But see, the video you showed me,
yeah,
where that the Chinese guy is up there with the camera,
uh-huh,
the water tank has water in it again.
Yeah, so they must have.
And yeah. So I wanted to know: did they patch the hole, or is it a different tank?
And moving on. Yeah. So sorry about that. That one was a really long episode, and I had a really hard time getting through it to edit it. So.
But you know what happens next week, right?
I'm so excited. Next week is Thomas's big episode from Murder in His Hometown. Dun,
and
dun, dun.
I have been researching this off and on for 4 or 5 months. But it's kind of like I can spend 20 minutes researching it and I have to walk away. And the reason is a lot of the people involved, I know who they are.
Yeah.
And I have this perception of the type of person they are based on what I knew them as.
Like in person, in real life.
And then seeing this.
Yeah.
There is a figure in there that in the story is a total bag. But I knew him as an old man that frequented a restaurant I worked at.
Yeah.
And I didn't have that. I thought he was a nice dude until my mom pointed out who he was and like, oh yeah, he's the guy from this, this, and this. And I was like, what? So not only did this happen in my hometown during my lifetime, but I have a source, someone that knew the people involved, the victim I only met once. I am not going to name this source to protect them. Mostly, I'm just trying to verify a few things, make sure that the characters that they're portrayed as is accurate, because mm-hmm. I want to make sure that the story is told accurately.
Yeah, I am really excited for that episode, but I would like to record it early because I imagine it's going to be a beast. But anyway, that was partially why I did less murdery ones last week and this week, because we're moving on to a big murdery one.
Yeah.
So, also, this is related to my hometown story that I did, and I'm thinking I might go back and re-edit the episode, or maybe we should re-record it at some point. But the Dakota 38+2, today, the day that we're recording on Saturday, December 26th, is the anniversary of the mass hanging. And my hometown people posted pictures, and they still did, it was much smaller, you know, than normal, but they still did a ride in honor of the natives that were hanged that day. I'm glad that they did it, even if it had to be on a smaller scale, you know, and I know they all took precautions, hopefully, mm-hmm. you know, but it's good to remember the horrible things so as not to repeat them, even though they are horrible and painful. Also, I'm not sure where the heck this came from, but our state with the highest percentage of listeners is now Florida? Question mark? Thank you? I'm not sure why, but we appreciate you. I want to come visit you, but when there's not a pandemic surging through you.
Yeah, mostly I just want to go visit your Star Wars theme park.
He kind of likes Star Wars.
I kind of like Star Wars.
He's wearing a Star Wars shirt right now.
Of which I have enough to wear one each day of the week. And then some.
Probably you know almost 2 weeks.
And you know what?
What?
I am still looking at new shirt designs.
I hate you. If you want to talk to us, creepylivepodcast@gmail.com, and we're on most socials. Rate and review us, and please, like, write a review. Once we get to 10, we'll do a bonus episode.
Again, that's 10 written reviews.
Yeah, I think we're at 10 ratings.
Yes.
Which, thank you, we do appreciate that as well.
Oh, absolutely.
We're past 3,000 listens now, so we're kind of a big deal. I'm kidding. But we appreciate you guys, and we love it when we have a few friends, especially your cousin, and Alexandra and Seth and Crystal that talk to us, sometimes Jesse, about the cases. And I like to discuss them further, so if you want to discuss them with us, please reach out. We'd love to talk about it.
Yeah, because some of the stuff, I mean, going back to the Dennis Martin episode.
Your sister's obsessed with that.
Not only is my sister obsessed with it, I am absolutely haunted by that.
Yeah. And we were just talking about Tyler Hadley, how, like, that's one of the episodes that really sticks with me, because it's just really messed up to throw a party with your parents' dead bodies in the other room.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. But yeah, and like I said, we're on all the socials. Even if we're not super active on there, if you, like, talk to us, we'll respond.
And sometimes right away, because some of us don't have lives.
Yeah, I'm still on winter break, so.
And I hate my job, so.
Anyway, if you share us with your friends, we really appreciate it. Please tell them to start not at the beginning.
Yeah, if there's an episode that you think is really, really good, that's the one you tell your friends. Get them hooked first.
In case you're wondering, right now our top five are Naughty Putty, which is almost at 300. It's almost 10% of all of our plays.
Insane.
Tyler Hadley, Wendigo, Black Dahlia, and Marlene Warren, I think. Number five spot switches out a lot, but the other four have been pretty steady. Anyway, let's stop rambling and wrap this up so I can shower and you can go to bed.
Some of us have to work on the Lord's Day.
Yeah, me, editing this podcast. After I play GTA in the morning. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We love you.
Yes, we like you. Just as a friend, I'm taken.
Stay creepy.